Now that it's been confirmed James Jones won't be back in Green Bay, the Packers will have a new look in 2016. What's in the works? We'll discuss several topics coming out of the NFL's owners meeting. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the goings-on at the NFL owners meeting and all the topics that have come out of there. It's just me this morning, no guests. You're going to get my unfiltered thoughts. I was actually trying to line up two guests, both of which were busy this morning, but it's kind of good news in terms of I've set the wheels in motion for them to appear on future episodes of the show. But that's all right, because we have a lot to get to today with the NFL owners meetings taking place, wrapping up on Wednesday in Boca Raton, Florida. We start with this.
Packers news of the day.
James Jones and the Green Bay Packers are going in different directions. The agent of James Jones, who is Frank Bauer, confirmed the Packers are going to go with the young guys on the roster. This comes originally from a report by Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, was later also confirmed by Packers head coach Mike McCarthy in several articles published by those covering the Packers beat. But yeah, so, I mean, this, you could kind of see the writing on the wall with this, I think, even entering free agency, which is now 2 weeks old. You know, at the start of the new league year, you could see the Packers had, number one, several young players on the roster. Number two, a couple wide receivers coming off injury. So, you know, the Packers are getting back in 2016. Jordy Nelson, of course, the guy who James Jones basically was signed to replace this past season. In addition to Nelson, you've got Ty Montgomery, who ended his season on injured reserve. So you've got those guys coming back and playing big roles. You've got, in addition to them, the young up-and-comers on the Packers roster, like Jeff Janis, who had the big game to end the 2015 season in the playoffs with two touchdowns and the Hail Mary catch. You've got Jared Abradaris, who, you know, as long as he's healthy, he's been a good, productive member of the wide receiver core. The problem is that he hasn't always been healthy, so you hope that if he is, he can continue to do more. And so you've got the young guys, you've got the guys coming off injury, then you've got the guys who have been around, like Randall Cobb, obviously, you know, Pro Bowl wide receiver himself. He's no chopped liver. Then you've got, you know, Davante Adams, who the jury's kind of still out on him. He's still a relatively young guy, but he's been around for two seasons, and you wonder, is he going to be a disappointment like he was in 2015? Or is he still young enough that there's room for improvement there? And we haven't seen the best of Davante Adams yet. You've got young guys who were on the practice squad last year coming up as well. So you understand why the Packers are moving on from James Jones. It's almost kind of weird. You understand why the Packers would move on. But here we are 2 weeks into free agency, and James Jones in 2015 basically defied the odds. He showed the league he still has productivity left in him. And despite that, he can't seem to gain interest from seemingly anyone. It's a little bit odd in that you understand why the Packers would move on. But don't you think there's a team out there that would be interested in James Jones for, you know, basically a minimum NFL contract. He made the league's minimum with the Packers this past season. Understandably, he's not going to make a whole lot more than that, but you would think there'd be a team out there that would take that chance on him, be a number three, number four wide receiver, be a mentor to a young group of their own wide receivers who maybe don't have as much depth as Green Bay. But, you know, maybe there's interest out there, teams putting feelers out there, but nothing there, you know, desperately want to get done with James Jones. I don't know if this means he retires. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just kind of waits things out because, as I've said before, the Packers, who knows, all of a sudden they suffer another Jordy Nelson catastrophic injury, knock on wood. We don't hope that happens, but if it were to, maybe the Packers could bring back Jones once again. I wouldn't hold your breath on that, but I'm just saying it is a possibility, depending on what James Jones wants to do. Maybe he's fed up with the Packers by now, saying, if I did this in 2015, you know, he has a career high, I believe the number was 17.8 yards per catch last season. That represents a career high. And as a good, you know, a good season, I don't know what he catch, 50 some passes for, it was over 800 yards. He had 8 touchdowns, which I believe tied for the team lead in Green Bay. He was tied with tight end Richard Rodgers. So, you know, James Jones provides that to Green Bay in 2015. And the Packers obviously grateful for what he did for them this past season. You could argue he was the team's MVP last year. you could make that argument. I'd listen to it if you were to say James Jones was the team's MVP. He bailed them out many times, especially early in the year. Remarkable what he was able to do on such short notice, you know, basically being released by the Giants, being brought into Green Bay a week before the start of the regular season, and holds down the fort and just did what he always did with Green Bay, basically being a possession wide receiver and a strong wide receiver, as strong as nearly any wide receiver in the NFL for his size, at least. You know, there are guys who are, you know, naturally bigger and taller than James Jones. But what he was able to do after the catch, I think, and you know, securing that football, putting the shoulder down, getting yards, getting what's expected, he was able to do that for Green Bay. But that time appears to be over. I mean, if this is it, I mean, you kind of look at James Jones, his career in retrospect, and you thank him for what he did for the Packers over the years, including his contributions to a Super Bowl victory in 2010, Super Bowl XLV. He was part of that team that was part of a very deep Packers wide receiver core at the time, in which he had to share time with the likes of Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, of course, Jordy Nelson. That was 1 year before Randall Cobb came in. But, you know, that was as good a wide receiver core in the NFL as any at the time. Arguably the best wide receiver core in Packers history, that the Green Bay had, you know, riches at the position, luxury of riches, at wide receiver in terms of targets Aaron Rodgers could throw the ball to. So, James Jones was a part of that. There was the year he led the NFC in touchdown receptions. I believe it was 2011. He had 14 touchdown receptions, a remarkably high number. He was able to do that. He was able to bail the Packers out of their injury woes this past season. All those things James Jones contributed over the course of his career, and Green Bay is grateful. James Jones, from a personal standpoint, you know, thanks what you've done for the Packers organization. I'll thank you if this is goodbye for good. I would tend to think it is, but like I said, maybe we leave the door open and we'll see what happens in the future. Speaking of leaving the door open, Packers head coach Mike McCarthy spoke on a variety of topics yesterday, kind of with the local beat reporters. Kind of sounds like the local beat reporters caught up to Mike McCarthy at the NFL owners meeting on Tuesday in advance of the NFC coaches breakfast on Wednesday, in a more formal setting in which he meets with the media for an hour long. But anyway, among the topics Mike McCarthy discussed was his meeting with free agent tight end Jared Cook, in which Mike McCarthy described he met with Cook at length for a while. He also talked about being impressed by Jared Cook. So what does this mean? Does this mean that Cook is still a possibility for the Green Bay Packers? McCarthy acknowledged it's now a financial decision for Green Bay. And once again, I mean, we talked about this the last episode or the episode before that with the Packers and Jared Cook. I mean, it's basically one of two things. Either they are not interested whatsoever. I'm not sure why, you know, what they would have found out in that meeting with them that would have turned them off. You know, there's certainly, he's a 7-year veteran, and you already know quite a bit about him just from the film that's out there on him. You're able to see 7 years worth of film on Jared Cook. I mean, certainly getting to know a guy a little bit better is a good thing. I don't know if there's anything out there that's hidden that the Packers or that may not be public about there. As far as I know, Jared Cook is, you know, I think there was a thing that happened on the sideline between him and Austin Davis, Rams quarterback, this past season. But I mean, in terms of, you know, his dealings with the law, this isn't a guy who's out there and any law trouble or anything that I know of. It's a case where the Packers maybe have made an offer, but it wasn't to Cook's liking, in that he wants more money and is going to hold out for more money. And that's interesting too, because the longer Cook waits, the less options that are going to be out there. You had to wonder if, you know, the one other place in the NFL where there might have been significant interest was south of the border of Green Bay. In Illinois, the division rival Chicago Bears, after trading away Martellus Bennett, you had to wonder, well, there's a potential landing spot for Jared Cook. But as what happened on Tuesday, the Chicago Bears signed restricted free agent tight end Josh Hill, formerly, I shouldn't say that, because the offer sheet, I believe the New Orleans Saints have the option to match the offer, by the Chicago Bears. So this is an offer sheet and nothing is official yet. I don't know if the Saints may have said already, we're not going to match it. I don't know that far. All I know is that the Bears intend on adding another tight end. So is that, you know, one less spot for Jared Cook to potentially be, to have some interest in there, mutual interest? I don't know if the Bears would sign another tight end or not. I don't know the intricacies of their roster that intimately, I suppose. But I mean, regardless, I mean, it's less salary cap space the Bears have. And in general, I mean, the places that Jared Cook could possibly find a landing spot are drying up. I mean, certainly there's a team out there that would, you know, take Jared Cook for the NFL's minimum. There's many teams that would do that, but obviously he wants more than that. I mean, here's a guy who, yes, while Jared Cook has not set the world on fire, while he has not quite lived up to expectations, this is still a guy who's caught, you know, what, over 250 passes in his career. He has something like, I don't know, several thousand yards to his name. I mean, he's he's experienced. He's been around the block before. It's not as if he's got 20 catches to his name or anything like that. He's got 10 times that. You know, he's been there before. He's been in battle, so to speak, in the NFL, even if it hasn't been with a terrific quarterback, even if it hasn't really been on a playoff caliber team. Jared Cook knows what it takes to get the job done. And you hope that if he were to be paired with a good quarterback for, you know, arguably the first time in his career, that, you know, he would take off, you know, working with a guy like Aaron Rodgers. So anyway, I mean, to come full circle here, Mike McCarthy said he's impressed by Jared Cook, that he met with him a long time. And I suppose we're not ruling anything out yet. I don't know how much longer this will drag out, because eventually Jared Cook will be signed. I mean, unless there's totally something here that we just didn't see coming, where he is, you know, in trouble with the law. No indication that's the case, but it is kind of weird that, you know, something hasn't been done by now for a guy who's still, you know, he's short of 30 years old. So he's still kind of, you know, right now he's relatively, you could argue he's in the prime of his career. He's ready to make his biggest impact right now. And still has a little bit left in the tank. Obviously he's not your long-term solution. He's not going to be with the Packers for a decade or anything like that. But can he make a difference in 2016? Can he contribute toward a team with Super Bowl aspirations? Certainly. And I think that's why the Packers should pursue him. And maybe if they can get him to agree to a deal worth maybe $2 million a season, that would be enticing, and maybe that's what the Packers are hoping for. You agree to $2 million a season, we'll take you on and be basically the complement to Richard Rodgers, the other tight end. So that was another big topic of discussion yesterday coming out of the NFL owners' meetings, in addition to another one in which Mike McCarthy discussed the move of Dayton Jones to elephant end or outside linebacker. And, you know, I understand that term seems perhaps a little bit weird to describe a guy who's, you know, I think Dayton Jones is 6'4" and 285 pounds. And to describe an outside linebacker like that is not exactly your prototype outside line. That's bigger than most outside linebackers. But, you know, the Packers spent so much time in their sub packages, in their nickel and dime packages, that, you know, they almost don't, that it's almost as if the 3-4 is the sub package. They're in it so rarely. You know, they're in the nickel and dime, in which, you know, nickel is a 4 defense to front. Two down defensive linemen and two guys basically standing up on the edge, which the Packers, you know, used Jones in that role, standing on the edge, you know, about midway through the 2015 season. They used him in that role more heavily. And you kind of wondered, is this a full-time thing? Is this the way his career is headed? And that would appear to be the case based upon Mike McCarthy's comments on Tuesday, once again, at the NFL owners' meetings. And that doesn't rule out Dayton Jones rushing as an interior rusher. On, you know, all of a sudden it's third and long. That's when they put him in a three-point stance inside the tackle box, and he rushes after the quarterback. It's more on early downs, in which he was on the edge, standing up in the two-point stance, and really is kind of a, you know, when he is on the edge as a defensive end slash outside linebacker slash edge defender, that's kind of the term I use as a catch-all. Packers like to use elephant end. It's the same role, basically, that both Julius Peppers and Mike Neal have played with the Packers as well.
Those guys have played on the edge, and they will be used as an interior rusher as well in a three-point stance. They'll do both. And, you know, that's Dayton Jones. It's only going to be continue to be the case more and more here. And I think it does fit his skill set, you know, being on the edge more than it does being on an interior rusher. I think, you know, as far as defensive, you know, in the box defensive linemen go, Dayton Jones was small, 285 pounds. You can get pushed around in the run game like that. But when you're 285 pounds on the edge, where you're playing in a little bit more space, Dayton Jones can be a run stuffer in that type of, you know, environment. Certainly, he doesn't have the lateral agility like the best of them, like Julius Peppers in his prime. You know, Dayton Jones is a little bit stiffer player than that. But, you know, it still fits him better than I think, you know, a full-time defensive lineman, a full-time five-technique defensive end where he's kind of head up on the offensive tackle. I think being on the edge suits him a little bit better, where he can rush on occasion from around the edge. You know, that's where he had success in college. That's why he became a first-round draft pick, basically, what he would do at UCLA, rushing off the edge quite a bit and having a lot of success. As opposed to, can he do some things as an interior rusher? Occasionally. And that's why you like him there on third and long when you know it's very likely to be a passing down. He can use a little bit of that quickness he might have over a 330-pound guard. He can put that to use and get around some guys there. But this appears to be a long-term move for Dayton Jones, at least according to head coach Mike McCarthy in his comments at the NFL owners meeting. So that was kind of interesting coming out of comments coming out on Tuesday in Boca Raton. Other news from a Green Bay Packers standpoint, Mike McCarthy talked about Eddie Lacy and didn't have a whole lot to say, basically saying so far, so good in terms of, you know, his, you know, everybody's interested in the conditioning aspect, how he's, you know, obviously, you know, weighed too much this past season. And there's been plenty written about by that. And, you know, that Mike McCarthy didn't have a whole lot to say on it because, I mean, I think everybody wants to know how much Eddie Lacy weighs. They want to put him on a scale and find out. And Mike McCarthy, I mean, it's the off season. Eddie Lacy is not at team headquarters. You know, obviously he's supposedly been working out with the creator of P90X, Tony Horton. So he hasn't been in Green Bay, and, you know, very few players are. I mean, sure, some stay there, or some, you know, may go back, you know, from, you know, there and back. I mean, this is the time. You're starting to get to the time where players are working out in preparation of, you know, the off-season program. But understandably, even a guy like Eddie Lacy, after a long NFL season, deserved a vacation himself. Hopefully that didn't mean he was going out and eating gobs of food, but he deserved a vacation as well. I don't know how long it lasted. Obviously, you've been hearing these rumors. He's been working out for a while now. But anyway, Mike McCarthy says, so far, so good with Eddie Lacy. And I think we continue. You not going to get anything too definitive on that till Lacy himself appears at the Packers offseason program, and you can see for yourself what he looks like in pads. And I don't know, maybe he'll even discuss his weight when the time comes. We're talking about the month of April, so still got to wait a little bit while for that. Other Packers news, Elliot Wolf received a promotion by the Green Bay Packers to Director of Football Operations. You can understand the Packers trying to keep Elliot Wolf happy. You understand there's probably a succession plan in place here in terms of him becoming the next Packers general manager. Ted Thompson reportedly has a contract expiring after the 2018 season. So you can see the writing on the wall in effect here too, and understand that, you know, it probably makes sense that Thompson probably wants to continue in this capacity through that time, through the 2018 season, through the end of it, and at that time kind of pass the torch to Elliott Wolf. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the direction the Packers go. I know Packers president Mark Murphy, I believe, in a interview with ESPN.com, has said there's a succession plan in place already. He wouldn't go into details. He wouldn't even name Elliott Wolf, but that the Packers have a plan in place. But even if it's not, if it's unspoken, I think it's understood Elliott Wolf will be the next Packers general manager. In fact, I believe, I can't even remember where I saw it on Twitter. One of the Packers beat writers, I believe, pointed out the title that Elliott Wolf holds now is the same title that both John Dorsey and Reggie McKenzie held before they left to become general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Oakland Raiders, respectively, there. And this could be the stepping stone to Elliott Wolf becoming, you know, a general manager himself, albeit for the Green Bay Packers, when Ted Thompson eventually steps down and retires, whenever that may be, very likely to be after the 2018 NFL season. Some people may point to John Schneider and wonder if he's a candidate, but as long as he remains with the Seattle Seahawks, that it just may remain that way. I'm not sure if the Packers would, you know, really want to go out on a limb and bring him back and then, you know, potentially lose. Because, I mean, if they were to hire John Schneider as GM, Elliott Wolf may, in fact, leave for his own situation. In fact, could be courted by the Seahawks then. Anyway, that's all hypothetical and years down the road. But also Brian Gutekunst, former Packers director of college scouting, receiving a promotion as well. And the Packers just want to keep him happy and obviously happy with the work he's been doing and trying to keep him in the fold as long as possible as well. He might be a guy who's climbing up the ladder and could be a general manager candidate someday as well. Perhaps not as high on the list as a guy like Elliott Wolf, but Brian Gutekunst doing good things for the Packers too. So I mean, there's several topics we've, you know, gone over here. News that has come out since our last episode of Railbird Central on Monday. Obviously, a lot of things happening in the NFL at the NFL owners meeting, including all these rule changes. The chop block was outlawed, and the NFL is still considering, I know, several more rule proposals here. Perhaps we'll hear more on Wednesday. The Packers bringing in Noah Spence for an official visit. That's the word from Matt Miller of Bleacher Report. Noah Spence is a first-round draft prospect, a guy who has a history of drug issues with ecstasy, so a recreational drug, why he had to transfer from Ohio State down a level to Eastern Kentucky. So a guy who's had some drug troubles, albeit for recreational drugs as opposed to performance-enhancing drugs. And that's, you can understand why the Packers may be looking deeper into him and wondering if this could potentially be a problem in the NFL. He's an interesting guy because, I mean, he is a guy projected to come off the board probably late in the first round, and that's where the Packers have their draft pick, number 27 overall. Could they potentially be interested in Noah Spence? We'll see. It's a development worth watching. And that leads us into our next segment.
The day ahead.
It's Wednesday, and I would say that the thing to watch for today is the Mike McCarthy speaking at the
NFC coaches breakfast, but it's already done as of the time this podcast is being aired and recorded. It's already in the books. So that happens early in the morning on Wednesday. And Mike McCarthy has already spoke about several more topics, including rule changes, the NFL, and all sorts of questions reporters asked him. All you got to do is follow along with the local coverage from outlets like ESPN, the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and you'll find out what McCarthy spoke about today, or just follow along the writers on social media as well, and you'll find out. But the NFL owners meeting concludes on Wednesday. I believe it ends with like the last thing happening there is a press conference by Roger Goodell. And so that'll happen sometime Wednesday afternoon. I believe the owners are still voting on one or two rule proposals. I know a major one being touchbacks, the NFL considering moving touchbacks from the 20-yard line to the 25-yard line. And that would really be kind of a major rule change in that, it would almost eliminate the kickoff. Maybe not entirely, but, if a kickoff reaches an end zone, kick returners are not going to be inclined to take that kick out very often, knowing that they're already going to be at the 25-yard line. So that is kind of interesting there that could happen. I almost wonder if there may be some sort of unintended consequences, and how often might we see, kickers trying to, place that kickoff as close as possible to the goal line without going in. So you're like forcing a kick returner to field it at the 1 yard line or the goal line, and really then not having the option for a touchback. They'll have to return it in, and then, the covering team trying to pin them inside the 25 or the 20 or whatever. That could be an interesting little game being played on special teams there. We'll see what happens, whether the NFL votes on this or not. They can always table these rule proposals. I believe they have another meeting yet before the summer. They have a spring meeting in the month of May, I believe, if I'm correct, that they could take care of then. So anyway, that's what's happening on Wednesday, and looking forward to in the immediate future what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers, in addition to several pro days across the nation. Packers scouts will be out and about on Wednesday. I know some of the pro days being held today in particular at Texas, USC, Missouri, Duke, Purdue, Syracuse. So Packers scouts out and about as well. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you everybody so much for joining us this morning, talking a little bit of Packers football. We'll be back again on Friday. I'll try to have a guest lined up for us then, and we'll talk a little bit more about where the Packers offseason stands and the aftermath, the fallout of the NFL owners meeting. So we'll see you later, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We will talk to you later in the week. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. If you could do us a solid and do that, we'd greatly appreciate it because it helps get word out about the show. We'll see you, folks. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.